The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these. Because I am going to the Father, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O
Christ. Grace and peace to you in the name of God, our Creator, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we celebrate Pentecost today, we get to take some intentional time to reflect on the work of the Holy Spirit as one part of the Trinity. To be completely honest, I find it sometimes confusing how every single part of the Trinity is its own unique being, but it's also all part of God and it all exists together. It can be a little confusing, at least to me. So if you would like the Trinity to be unpacked, come to church next week and Pastor Tim will do that. It's Holy Trinity Sunday next week, but this week the Holy Spirit gets its moment. When I was in seminary, we were trying to figure out exactly how we could talk about the Trinity. Is it best symbolized as a triangle or as the water cycle or whatever? But by the end of it, our professor just said we were all heretics. But the Holy Spirit, I can at least simply say that the Holy Spirit is how God shows up in the world. It's how God's presence is among us. I like to think of it with my own little formula, which is that the Holy Spirit ignites, invites, and unites. Okay? So you can practice that. I'll say it again. The Holy Spirit, it's a force that ignites, invites, and unites. So, first, the Holy Spirit ignites passions and strengths with us. We actually already started talking about that a little bit with the kiddos. So, in baptism, it's as if the Holy Spirit descends upon us and strikes a little match within us, right? The Holy Spirit comes upon us in those waters, and we are given gifts of new life and forgiveness, God's grace, God's love. It all happens right in that moment. But as we continue to walk in our life of faith, it just keeps going. We are bestowed upon our own unique gifts and strengths and passions as we become who we're meant to be, who God is calling us to be. My friend Christine, for example, is a good example of how this has worked for her. When she was 3 years old, she convinced her parents that she should go to dance class so she could wear a tutu. I totally understand that. And while she was, you know, training, she saw the older girls in their point shoes, and she saw real ballerinas. And she would describe it as fireworks went off inside of her. She was enamored. She was like, "I am going to do that," right? I would say it was like the Spirit, you know, like lit that little spark in her and said, "You know, I've created you to be a dancer." And so she trained and trained, and she kept growing and taking more classes. But as she kept growing, she physically kept growing taller and taller and taller, and she became the tallest dancer in the class. Now, I didn't know this until she shared this with me. Do I have any ballet fans, or maybe you go see grandkids or anything? When it comes to the art of ballet, they want everything to be incredibly uniform and incredibly in sync. And so they want everything to look perfect, right? So if you're a 5'8 dancer, if you're taller than everybody else, it's going to look funny. And so she had a teacher that said, "Christine, you have so much potential. You, however, because you are so tall, you have to be the best in every company you perform in, so you get the solo, because they're never going to give you a part in the ensemble." And she said, "I will do it." And it was like the spirit, through her teacher, poured gasoline on her fire, right? Like she went to the school. She actually was not accepted in the Denver School of Dance, and she kept working and she kept working. She left her home at 18. She moved to Europe to study, and eventually she had an international career as a ballerina. And it's just how someone can see something in you, can ignite that spark within you, and you can, you know, make a difference in your life or the life of a child. So the Holy Spirit ignites. Next, the Holy Spirit invites. So as we talked about in baptism, you, to symbolize this flame, this fire of passion that's burning within you, we give the baby or the person a candle. And when we give you the candle, the minister says, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So if the Spirit ignites these special gifts and passions and qualities in you, then you are told, go and use them for the glory of God. You are invited to use your gifts. It's like, okay, kiddos, it's like this little light of mine. What's the second verse? Does anybody remember? Sing it out. Shout it out with me. It's, hide it under a bushel.
No,
right? You have a light within you. You don't want to cover it. You don't want to keep it to yourself. You want to let it shine. Yes. So the Holy Spirit ignites and invites. Now, we see this in our Pentecost story, in the story of Acts. So the disciples are in an upper room, and they are just kind of waiting. So if you were here last week, this is why you have to come to church every week, because the story just keeps going. You get Ascension last week, you're going to get Trinity next week. So what happened is that Jesus ascended into heaven, and he told the disciples, according to Luke's gospel, go to Jerusalem and wait. The Spirit is coming. So they're waiting and they're waiting, and then all of a sudden they're lit on fire and the Spirit is here. And they start hearing different languages, and they're with people all over the world. And it's very clear that the Spirit is inviting them out. It's as if they're saying, okay, you've had your rest, now get to work, right? Jesus taught you, Jesus gave you gifts of healing and love, and Jesus taught you how to be community with each other. So now get out there and go make it happen. So the Holy Spirit ignites and invites. Finally, the Holy Spirit unites. So while the disciples were in that upper room, they are trying to make sense of it, right? Some people think they had a little too much to drink. And Peter's trying to make sense of what's happening. And he goes to the words of the prophet Joel to explain what's going on. And he proclaims through the words of Joel that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter is recognizing that everybody who is speaking in the name of Jesus, who's there to be together in the name of the Lord, is united together. Everybody, men, women, young, old, no matter where you come from, language you speak, everyone is united in Christ. So the Spirit is all about unity in that moment. But unity does not equal conformity, right? In this story, everyone is speaking a different language, but the miracle is that they can understand each other. So as we've been talking, you have unique gifts and talents. Everybody is special and created by the Spirit to be your own very unique self. But we are all united in the name of the Lord with Jesus. We are all a part of the body of Christ and called to love each other in the way that each of us can. So, to summarize yet again, the Spirit ignites our gifts and passions. The Spirit invites us to go use them to glorify God, to serve one another, to share God's love. And the Spirit unites us in our cause, in the body of Christ, to love one another. So what are you going to remember this weekend? Okay, say it with me. The Holy Spirit ignites, invites, unites. Very good. I hope this summer, I hope this week, you are paying attention to what is the Holy Spirit calling you to do. What gifts do you have and how can you use them? Praise be to the Holy Spirit, to the glorious Trinity, to the force that ignites, invites, and unites us all in Jesus. Amen.